50,000 mailers going out all over the city with my picture on them. And everyone's saying, come and hear him speak. 50,000. And in the same week, on Monday, my house is burglarized. My home is broken into. My children's bikes are stolen. And all of a sudden, our tranquil little home becomes a place that could easily change in just a moment. And then I wake up Tuesday morning, and I can't talk, and I have a high fever, and my throat's killing me, and I'm blowing out all this yellow junk, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what my week's kind of been like. All week leading up to this particular time. And in the meantime, the phone continues to ring. People still need their problems solved. They're still facing challenges in life, be it some addiction, some terrible habit they're trying to overcome, or some unexpected event that's taken place in their life and has left them really traumatically and emotionally hurt. That's pressure. Being a father, that's pressure. For children, that's pressure. I took my sons, my daughters, my wife, we went to a park Monday, and we went on this hike, and I was really looking forward to go up there. We're hiking on these big rocks, and we're kind of a risk-taking family. So we're hanging on these rocks, and we probably do some things that we probably shouldn't ought to do. And sometimes I probably let my 4.5-year-old try things that he shouldn't ought to try. But he told me that I could let go of his hand and he could climb this rock. I said, well, you sure? Oh, I'm sure, Daddy. So he starts to climb. He starts to fall down. And the only way for me to save him was to jump down after him and fall under him. Of course, the only one who got hurt was Dad. And of course, then that night we got home to find that the phone was missing, the window was broken, and our home was broken into, and then I wake up and get sick. You know, life happens that way sometimes, doesn't it? Anyone relate to that? You know, my wife got me an encouraging movie, Falling Down. Any of you see that movie? I'll tell you, you got to see that movie. That is really, I can really relate to that movie. That is a... I told Pete Calder, and he does some of our acting up here sometimes, he looks just like Michael Douglas sometimes, some of the things he does in that movie. It opens up, and Michael Douglas has got a little buzz haircut, his little 1960s glasses, and he's sitting in his car. The air conditioner's broke. He tries to roll the window down on the car. He's stuck in traffic, and the handle breaks off. And you can see beads of sweat are beginning to glisten on his forehead. And all of a sudden, there's one flight. And he slaps the back of his head. He slaps his forehead. And he's just beginning to steam. You can just see. You can just relate. Have you ever been stuck in traffic like that? Every time I go on a vacation or a trip, I get stuck in traffic, especially in Chicago. I hate Chicago for that reason. I hate driving east. I do not like going on that freeway. You got a million tolls. They're always taking your money, and there's always road construction. And last time I went, I had my daughter and my son, my oldest daughter and my son. We were going to Ohio, going to have a wonderful time at a conference there. I thought, I'll take the kids along, and they'll learn about Dad, and I'll learn about them. We'll have this wonderful bonding time. So, of course, what happens? The moment we get to Chicago, the moment we get stuck in the traffic, my daughter's got to go to the restroom. She got to go to the restroom really bad. I said, honey, you got to hold on. You know, I can't get off. There's no way to get on and off. I mean, we weren't just stuck. There was no movement going on in the traffic. Now, little boys, you can handle this with a can, you know, or with a cup. You know what I'm saying? There's a way to alleviate that pressure. Little girls don't quite operate that way. I've tried to get their mother to show them how to do that kind of stuff. She won't. So here we are. We're stuck in traffic. And it just barely, 45 minutes. She's crying, man. It's pain by this point. I'm saying, just go in your pants. We'll dry them later or something. You know? I don't care. Get the seat wet. Oh, man. You just want to blow up the cars in front of you, don't you? And you know it's some idiot up there who's just getting putting along, taking their old sweet time. Life, pressure. You know, pressure is the things in life. It's a lot of things. Let's talk about some of the things pressure is. Pressure is the things that obviously you can't control, for one. There are all those things that come into your life. They're the unexpected things, like the traffic jam on the way to work. You got up in plenty of time to make it today. You're going to start a new habit to get to work on time. You get out in your car, it won't start. Like Pastor Ken Johnson, there is an auto shop in this town that all the pastoral staff keeps busy just alone. You believe the trials this staff has with their automobiles, breaking down every week. We're picking up a different guy before the meeting at the auto shop. So Ken, I was in there to get my oil changed, and Vic, Ken may not know this. If you're out there, it's Ken, you're going to love this story. Vic's telling me about, yeah, you know, your partner was in here this morning, Ken. I said, oh, yeah? Yeah, his car wouldn't start. He had to tow it in here. I said, he did. He said, yeah, it was full of drywall, and it was sitting out there. And I said to myself, Vic, this is Vic talking. He said, I'm not going to go push that car in here. He said, I'm just going to go out and drive it in. So he says, I walked out, started it right up, and drove it in. And here's old Ken. He's got to pay the towing bill to get it there. It's got this choke problem, see? So they isolate the choke problem. Those are the kind of things, pressure. You know the other kind of things pressure can be? Pressure can be, I wonder if someone's going to break into my home. I wonder if today someone's going to rob me. It's those anxieties that we feel about things that haven't really happened to us. We don't know if they will happen to us, but there's this perception that we have that at any moment something bad's going to happen to us. I was thinking about that. One of my youngest daughter, every night when we go to sleep, we pray together, and I put my kids to bed. I put my daughters to bed. And I talked to her. And one of the things that is always a concern of hers, and she's seen this on Rescue 911 or seen it on a news report or whatever, so she knows it's a reality out there. It can happen. Is that someone's going to, you know, Dad, what if someone breaks into the house? Of course, then it goes and happens, right? Wonderful, wonderful situation. So I'm going to tell you how we dealt with that later on this evening. But here it happens. So I knew that night, you know, putting her to bed was going to be an interesting challenge. So the first thing I did was went and nailed all the windows shut. Just took an old hand. I don't live there anyway. I mean, I don't own the house, so I just took out these nails and I pound these nails in the wall. And wouldn't you know, right when the officer is in our house, guess who calls? The landlady from Kansas. She never called, hardly ever. You know, she calls, right? So my wife goes, well, Virginia, well, the police are here right now. Someone just broke into your home. Oh, she's a pretty nice lady, so she'll call back. You know, the most odd things happen in the most unexpected times, at the most inopportune times, things like that happen. I opened up the paper this morning. I try to have a daily habit of reading information. And one of my favorite papers, although I don't agree with this paper, but one of my favorite papers is the USA Today. So I get the USA Today, tells all about the problems we're having in Somalia. And then right there on the front in a little box of different colors, so you can see it, the ozone hole is twice as big as they thought it was going to be. Twice as big! Of course, we're cutting back on fluorocarbons, but it will take well into the next century before we see any of those effects. Then you open up a few pages later and you realize that there's new, this, and this is the best I can pronounce it, is this hantavirus, this new little deer mouse that's spreading this virus all over. 26 people have already died. It's got scientists baffled. They can't isolate it. They don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, rodents are killing people. Oh my goodness. And you turn a few pages more and you see what America's public education system gets. It gets F's by everybody. F, F, F. The greatest crisis in America, education. Well, we could have told them that. But you get all these things pressing on you. You wonder if you send your kids out today to school, are they going to get home safe? Are they going to be all right? Are they going to be well adjusted or maladjusted? You wonder when you go to your job today anymore. It's almost like this perception. I wonder if I'll even have a job. I wonder if I'll end my day today and still have work. You wonder if your marriage is going to make it. Maybe you left home this morning not on very good terms with your spouse. Maybe there were some very difficult things said. You wonder if your teenager's going to make it. You wonder how you're going to put them through college. I mean, have you noticed that in the USA Today lately? No, the U.S. News World Report, excuse me, that's the other magazine I read. All of a sudden, all these articles coming out of college. College, got to set aside for college. Oh, it's going to be astronomical. Going to cost $150,000 to $300,000 per kid. And I got four of them. That's close to $1 million. Oh, my gosh. More than I'll make in a lifetime. What am I going to do? So you see all these, did I buy the best car? What about, oh, I better start saving now. There are so many things beyond your mind tonight, and I don't know what all of them are, that we could all go loony bins. You know, we could just go insane. Our blood pressure is going to rise. Our cholesterol level is going to rise. And then, you know, I was looking at this advertisement we sent out. I really like this advertisement, by the way. But I like this last one. Newsflash. Expect the unexpected. Electronic mask relieves woman's stress. Now, if you may not have read this, I'm going to read it to you. The new stress-relieving mask is claimed to eliminate all weariness brought about by the stress and strain of everyday life. The gleaming and completely sanitary stainless steel mask features thousands of micropores which mimic the human body's own skin structure. Using ultrasonic energy, a fine electrostatic mist is discharged which neutralizes the negatively charged ions in the human body, thus improving the user's electrolyte balance and resulting in a more positive outlook and overall mental state. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could, you know, we feature these back at our tape table. You can purchase these for $99.95. We guarantee the results. All right? You just go and put this on your wife. PMS will disappear. All the problems in your relationship will disappear. It just kind of fits on her face just like this. And I read this, you know, I thought, you know, as Americans, even though there's nothing like this, we wish there was. We really believe in these kind of things. We call them alcohol. Let me ask you tonight, how do you deal with your pressures? Do you know that most of the addictions people have in America that are causing them all kinds of difficulties are because it's their way of coping with pressures? You see, I hear all this stuff being talked about all the time. We got to do away with drug abuse. We got to do away with substance abuse. You will never, and I'm going to say this, I mean, you listen very carefully. Understand the logic. It's very logical. You will never do away with substance abuse until you do away with the pressures people face. Because it's primarily the only way many people get through their life. That's why you see such an explosion of crack cocaine in the inner city. It's a hopeless environment for many people. They don't see any hope. They feel pressured all the time. They feel aimless. Life just feels like it's caving in on them. And so the only way to escape is an instant high. I remember talking to a college student one time. He was sharing with me. He said, you know, Mark, when I was in college, for those of you who've never stood up in front of people to speak before, maybe sometime we'll have impromptu at Evergreen. And I'll just name a few. You can just pull you out and you can just come up here and talk for a while. But as Brent has told some of you before, many of you actually, that probably the greatest human fear people have is standing up in front of other people. It's a lot of pressure. You can feel an awful lot of pressure. This young man told me, yeah, before all my speeches, he says, I used to go highballing. He said, I just go in kind of stoned. Then I didn't worry about it. I could deal with it. I could cope. Welcome to alcoholism in America. You know, I hope you realize it's not because the stuff tastes good. Have you ever tried it? It's pathetic. Do you like drinking castor oil? I remember the first time I ever tried whiskey, a shot of whiskey, I almost puked. I did. I started to gag. I started spitting it out. This stuff is awful. Beer alone, the smell of it just gets to me. Now, everyone I've talked to has told me you've got to acquire a taste for it. You have to acquire a taste for this. The same is true with smoking. Remember the first time you tried a cigarette to calm your nerves? It's a you just kind of like hack because it burns your lungs. Now, there are reasons we may have started it other than pressure. We may have started it because of peer pressure. We may have started it for all kinds of reasons, but usually it relates to pressure. And the reason we continue those things, no matter what they may be, it may be an addiction to food. It may be an addiction to television. It may be just sitting down, unwinding with music or with silence or a primal scream, whatever your therapy is. I don't know. It's because we live in a crazy world. And we're trying to cope. We're trying to get through one more day. So that tomorrow we can go through the same baloney again. So that we can face one more crazy day. And what we all wish in our heart is that we could do what Michael Douglas does in the movie Falling Down. And if you haven't seen it, you got to see it so you'll understand. We wish we could just get out of our car in the middle of the highway. Now I'll continue the story. And leave it. And when the idiot behind us says, what the blank are you doing? I'm going home. You can't do it. Sure I can. I'm going home. Just leave the car. Just let everybody else move it. Just begin to walk home. Then he starts walking home, you know. And he goes into this little store. And he doesn't like the price of pop. It's 85 cents a can. He thinks there ought to be 50. So he grabs the guy's baseball bat behind it. Well, first the guy won't make him any change. He says, you got change for a buck? So, no change. No change. No change for a buck. I'm just showing you what the movie said, okay? I'm not making fun of nobody. It's just what the movie did. And he goes, well, what do you mean no change for a buck? He says, buy something. So he tries to look for the cheapest item, which he thinks is a can of pop. So he comes back, all he's got is a dollar. Gives him a dollar. He said, that 85 cents. 85 cents won't leave me any money for the car. No, my problem. 85 cents. And then Michael looks and said, you come to my country, you rob me of my money, this pop should only cost 50 cents. And he takes a baseball bat and he starts beating the place. And the guy says, rob me, rob me. He says, I don't want to rob you. I just want to pay what I think I should pay for this pop. So he pays 50 cents for the pop and he gives him his change and he goes and makes a phone call. Then he gets robbed. Then he's walking down through this neighborhood he shouldn't be walking through, see? And these guys, they start to chase him. And they come up. And of course, the classic thing you wish you could all do is just mash their heads in when they try to do that kind of thing to you. And of course, Michael Douglas does it. And off he goes, you know, and it just builds in one crazy thing after another. The guy's life's a sorry situation. It's humorous, but in many ways, it's all too true of what so many people go through in their lives all the time. His family life's falling apart. His wife doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He can't see his little girl. He feels all alone. He feels very isolated. And many people feel like that today. And your problems may not be nearly that extreme. You just may be trying to cope with life. But you and I know, and I know, that the reason so many people are here is because we're trying to find better ways to cope, better ways to make it. I'm going to share with you tonight, beginning this series, how you can make today with all the pressures that we have. We have more pressures today to deal with than our fathers and mothers ever dreamed of. I'll tell you that right now. I've talked to my mother many times about these subjects, these topics, because she's very interested in what I do. And she's told me quite often, she says, Mark, you live in a very different world than I lived in. When you were growing up, Mark, and I remember this, when I was five, that's just 6 months older than my youngest son, she said, I used to just send you down to the little grocery store, just a few blocks away. Send you with a little list, little money in your pocket. I know you'd get there. I knew the store clerk would help you, and I knew you'd get back. And that was in Burbank, California. I remember what that was like. I remember knowing the neighbors and everybody interested in each other. I remember what it was like going to school, and I never worried in my early years of school I was going to get beat up. The only thing I got in trouble for was sticking my hand in a fishbowl that I wasn't supposed to do. It was just a very caring environment, very warm environment. It was very easy to learn. You didn't get put down because you wore funny shirts or funny clothes. I mean, everybody just wore the same. There weren't that many options. Now with all the technology, I'll tell you, computers alone can make you pull your hair out. I went into a store the other day, just to give you an example. I don't like computers very much. I'll be the first one to admit that. I went into a store the other day and I was going to buy this body bag for my kids to hold and hit to work on their karate. So I went up to the guy to pay what he was asking for because it was a real good deal in his bag. And so I gave him my card. I have this Checkster card. So he goes to run through. He goes, hey, just be patient. We've got these new computers. I said, that's okay. I understand. So he runs it through. Won't take it. He goes, oh man, I'm really sorry. I don't know what's wrong. I said, hey, I understand. These computers, they can be a bigger curse than a blessing, can't they? I always like kind of driving that home just a little bit. I yearn for those simpler times. And so I said, I'll tell you what. All I got $6 in my pocket. It was $8.95. They're usually $50. I said, I'll give you $6. He goes, well, let me try the card once more. I said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead. So he tries it. It won't work. It's not the card because I just used it a few moments before. So he said, all right, I'll take the $6. And I could just tell. He was thinking to himself, this stupid computer, stinking computer. You just like to hit him. Computers will do that. We had a computer given to us, and I'm very thankful for it because my kids, they need to know this. I realize that. I want you to know that. They need to know it. We had this computer given to us, and in 5 days, it caused more stress in our family than we had in the previous month. My kids wanted me to answer all the questions. I said, I'm sorry. I'm not interested. Read the book. Then it got a bug. The chip went bad. My son, he put on like a 45,000-bit picture in it, and it ate it, ruined it. My kids, right away, the first day they're writing letters, swallowed them all. It's got this bad chip. I'm going to cost money to fix. And fortunately, the individual who got it for us was able to get one for nothing. See, computers, they just complicate your life. I'm not saying they're bad. Cars can do the same thing. We've just gotten so much more complex, and there are so many things that can just press on us. So I want to share with you tonight What is for me my greatest coping skill? I'm going to share. There's three of them. This is the first. All right. Next week and the following week will be the last two. Probably the verse that goes through my mind more than any other in the Bible. It's found in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28. And you can read it later on your own. Is this. It's in the words of Jesus when he was walking the earth, and he said this: "Come to me, all who are wearied and heavy burdened." And I relate to that verse quite often. Because having the job that I have, there's a lot of pressures put on you. And I mean, that's part of the job. I realized that when I got into this job, it would not only be my own life I'm dealing with, but the lives of hundreds of other people, as well as their problems and their difficulties and their struggles, their joys and their sorrows. So I think of this verse, and he says, "Come to me, all weary and heavy, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whenever I get into difficult situations, I think of Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the right path. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. You comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My worst situations, you're right there with peace, with calm, with relaxation. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in this quiet place forever and ever and ever." I think of the verse in Psalm 57 that says, "Cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me." Whenever I come out on the stage, whenever I'm going to be speaking or whatever it is I'm doing, I want to tell you this. God has taught me through the years to relax and trust God. To not sweat it. All I can do is my best. If you're going to get anything good out of this series, it's got to be God. It has got to be God. I would not have the audacity to come here and think that I have some little trick to teach you. If God didn't have something to say, I wouldn't even come out here on the stage. The same is true in my daily life as I think about parenting, as I think about raising my children, as I think about all the things that could happen to my sons and to my daughters. As I laid my head down that night after nailing the window shut, trying to cardboard over the broken window, and consoling my daughter, I was telling my kids. And my kids were telling me, my daughter came and said, "You know, Dad, I'm just really glad that none of us were here when we got hurt. I think that's great." I thought, that's a positive outlook. My two sons went down to bed. Their bedroom's right down the basement where the break-in was. That they just went to bed where they normally go to bed. They didn't cry. They weren't scared to death. It wasn't some emotionally traumatic experience that all of a sudden we're going to sue somebody for. You know why? Because we know there's a real God, a live, living, powerful God who is our ally, who is in our corner, and who is looking out for us. And as the psalmist says, our times are in his hands. And I believe that for the last 19 years of my life. I have chose to believe that. And I have seen God do amazing things in our life. Now, you've got to understand, I am a type A personality. I am not, you know, your calm, relaxed sort of individual. I'm hyper, you might say. My teachers thought so. I used to get sent to the principal just for not sitting still. I didn't join the service because I knew I could never stand still. I thought about it, but I knew I'd never make it. I used to tap my fingers all the time. I'm always going, always thinking. It's just not my personality to be calm. But God has the ability to give me calm. Faith has a relaxing power, a relaxing influence in our life. When we know, when we can sit back, I can't tell you what a comfort it is to me to know that I can sit back and know the future of this church, its financial future, the future of every individual that I'm responsible for is in God's hands, not mine. My family is in God's hands, not mine. My health is in God's hands, not mine. No, I am not purporting that all of a sudden we're lazy. I have an exercise program. I try to eat carefully, but my goodness, we could be so paranoid in the world you and I live in. Even healthy food can affect you. I mean, I could walk into some restaurant, try to eat some health food, and get hepatitis. We could become so paranoid. We could become so alarmed, and many of us are, that our life is just choked off by fear and anxiety all the time. Christ offers you the answer. He says, you come. In those times when you're feeling like that, when you're driving home and you're caught in rush hour, you calm down. You come to think for a moment. Hey, I've got better plans for you. I can't tell you what a comfort that was to me this week, because a lot of things that I wanted to get done, a lot of things I was thinking about for this time, and when I get sick, I get really sick. I get the kind of sick that I have to make myself lay down. I won't get better. I get a high fever, and I can't think very straight. I don't think very well. And I remember Tuesday, this starting, and just feeling sicker and sicker, just laying back on the bed thinking, you know, Lord, hey, this is your baby. This church is yours. My life is yours. I mean, if I'm sick through the weekend, and I actually for the first time have to call somebody else and say, hey, Brent, or hey, Mark, or hey, John, can you take this weekend? And I had celebration Wednesday night that I had to prepare for. And I have found that every time that I've trusted God and I've stepped out of that boat like Peter did in the waters of life, that God has always kept His word. And I have stood in front of thousands of people with very little preparation time. My preparation is very different than most people's, because I believe that when I step out there, God will give me what to say. I know these things. I wouldn't even be up here sharing them with you if I hadn't been trying to do them for the last 19 years of my life. Now it's a matter of God to uniquely speak to you tonight. If I didn't know that, I'd never come out. I want to tell you, God will stand by you if you let Him. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You'll never be an overcomer. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. Until you learn about faith. Until you learn about putting your trust in God. I was sharing with my wife the other day. She got a phone call. She's on the planning committee for the women's meeting. That's tomorrow, this big women's event. And one of the key speakers got very sick. Kathy said, oh, Mark, my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, maybe I should do it. I got so many things going on. I said, Kathy, relax. You just relax. It will all work out. I have been through this more times than I can count. Where things go wrong just before these meetings, it never fails. We get feedback, we get weird things happening. And I've learned through the years, just relax. God's testing us. He'll work it out. It's His job anyway. Put the weight, put the pressure on Him. He's big enough to deal with it. And you just go about your merry way, doing what needs to be done with a smile on your face. God will do what He needs to do. And sure enough, 15 minutes later, we prayed about it together. I just share with her this verse, and I'll end with this. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all of it. And do not lean on your own understanding. Now, this is very key, because you know what most of us here in this room do? We try to figure life out. We try to plan really good. We try to rely on our own mental gymnastics, on our own understanding, on our own logic. And God's saying, trust me. Trust me with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Say, hey, God, you're God. You figure this out. You lead me. You show me what to do, what to say, where to go. And He will make your path straight. You know what that means? He'll show you very clearly, boom, here's where to go, and here's what to do, and here's what to say. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of faith. And I'm going to tell you, I've been living this for many, many years and continue to grow in it. I'm still learning in it. And every day, it just gets more exciting and more exciting and more exciting. God never meant for you to be having these incredible migraine headaches from all the pressure in your life. He never meant for you to have this high blood pressure from all the pressures in your life. He never meant for these anxiety attacks to control your life. You know what He wants for you? He wants you to rest. He wants you to relax. He wants you to trust Him. go about the things that you need to do on a regular basis. You do your best. That's all you can do anyway. Trust God. You come back next week. We're going to talk about how to have a positive outlook on life and how that will affect your quality of life. All right? How to deal with pressure in the face of adversity. Lord, we thank you tonight so much that you're real, that you're alive. I thank you, God, for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. My times and our times, Lord, really are in your hands. I mean, it's nothing I can do about tomorrow. All my worrying, as you said. Why do you worry about tomorrow? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I think of what you told your disciples, Lord. Hey, guys, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, wear, blah, blah, blah. Everyone else is going after that. Don't worry. I know you need those things. Live by your priorities. Relax. Trust me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of tomorrow or the next day. Lord, I don't know what could come. I really don't. I could be dead a year from today. I could be dead tomorrow. But I know this, Lord. I would rather live today relaxed and rest and die tomorrow than filled with fear and anxiety and live for another year. I just pray, Lord, that you'd put your calm, your tranquility into our lives. Help these individuals as they go about their week to remember just those little phrases, to come unto you, to take upon